This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on a beautiful Sunday. Whether you're inside, outside, thanks for being here on WNRN. I'm Rick Moore. This is WNRN Sunday morning wake-up call. We're going to be visiting with a very talented and funny group of folks representing Bar Hoppers. And I'm going to introduce our first guest real quick. Keisha Jarrett from Live Arts, can you give me the explanation of Bar Hoppers? Do you have any background on, what's the name stand for?
Sure. Bar Hoppers was actually started by Offstage Theater about 17 years ago. And the name comes from that all of the plays are both set and performed in bars. And not only that, but they're also performed in several bars around the Charlottesville area, giving hence the name Bar Hoppers. And that we're going from three different venues. And for this particular time, the first venue is going to be the local in Belmont, and that's August 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. The second venue, we are really pleased to announce that it is going to be at Millie Joe on Preston, and that is for August 11th, 12th, and 13th. And then our third venue is Rapture right on the downtown mall, which is August 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Millie Joe. You may need to give a little more detail on that. You know, I'm very familiar with the bars in Charlottesville, but I have to say that Millie Joe caught me off guard.
Millie Joe is actually a really, really great establishment. They are about a year old, and they are right on the corner of Ridge Street and Preston. And not only that, they kind of stepped in when we had one of our venues surprise cancel on us, but they are a really great coffee shop. They've got great desserts and food, and they also serve beer.
Now I know where we're talking about.
There we go.
Okay, so how do you get these places, these bars or coffee shops to participate? Because I would think that having theater in their space would be certainly different and possibly even challenging to their location, to the staff inside, and to maybe some of their regular customers.
Well, I think it's a great addition in terms of if you look at most of these establishments have musical guests that come in. So it's actually theater to me is something that can be much more than just somebody coming into an actual quote unquote theater and seeing a performance in which there's no interaction. Part of the thrill about Bar Hoppers is that you're completely immersed in the scene. You can be dining and a play takes place right next to you.
I love this. I've seen Bar Hoppers several performances in the past, and it is quite engaging. I'll tell a story a little later on in our hour. But again, this is Keisha Jarrett. She's the Marketing and Communications Manager at Live Arts. And this is something new, correct? Live Arts actually participating in some manner? Because I think it used to always be a group called Offstage Theater, right?
That is right. Offstage, I believe that the last time that there was a Bar Hoppers was in 2009. And they had about a four-year hiatus. And then in between there, they kind of came up to our director of volunteers, Tracy Skipper, and approached Live Arts about becoming co-producers of Bar Hoppers. So Live Arts is extremely thrilled to be a part of this. And everybody really seems to enjoy the Bar Hoppers in general, and so to have Live Arts be a part of bringing this tradition back to Charlottesville is really exciting.
All right, for those of you listening, we'll continue on with conversation throughout the hour, but we want to give you a chance to show us exactly what we're talking about. You know, a little excerpt from one of the plays. My notes show, what do we have here? 10 different plays put together in the 2013 version of Bar Hoppers. And let's talk about which excerpt we're going to hear now. Who do we have with us?
I'm Marty Moore. I'm director of Walks Into a Bar.
And we also have Chris Ballmer.
Chris Ballmer, yeah.
Chris Ballmer. And your role here?
Is in this play is the bartender.
But you also have...
I wrote a play that's in the evening called The Runaway Bride.
All right. And this piece that we're doing now?
It's called Walks Into a Bar. It's what it sounds like, the running joke, walks into a bar. So there are several different people who come in, your typical priest, rabbi, monk, skunk, drunk. So it's very funny. It's written by Miller Murray Susan, and it starts off the whole theme of the night of just fun and outrageousness of bar hoppers.
And those who are familiar with Miller's play, I believe she performed on Wake Up Call last year as part of the Big Blue Door. She did one of her stories. Mm-hmm. You can find her as a regular at the Big Blue Door stories on a monthly basis. All right, so let's jump in. Our first excerpt from one of the plays performed by the Bar Hoppers, which starts tonight.
Yes.
A drunk walks into a bar.
I have a whiskey.
Got any idea?
About what?
Proof of age. I need to see it.
Thanks. I need to drink up before the fight starts. I'm going to need another whiskey before the fight starts.
What fight?
I don't have any money.
What?
But don't fuck.
Get out.
Patron 2, who walks in with a duck puppet on one hand.
Hey, where'd you get that pig?
This isn't a pig, it's a duck.
I was talking to the duck.
Ha ha, very funny. I'll have a vodka tonic.
And I'll have a fish.
We don't serve fish here.
Okay, then. I'll have a fish.
I told you, we don't serve fish here.
Right, yes.
Then I guess I'll have a fish.
We don't serve fish here, and if you ask for one again, I'll nail you to the wall.
Patron 2 pulls out a fish puppet and puts it on his other hand.
Please, sir, all I want is some water.
Oh, so a brief excerpt from the first play that opens up tonight, Walks Into a Bar. Again, Bar Hoppers, the 2013 group here in the Wake Up Call WNRN studio. Thanks so much. That was a wonderful piece. Now, let me ask, Marty, you're directing this play.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... are there multiple people performing this? Like, you've got somebody with a duck on one hand, somebody with a pig, the pig was the joke.
Yeah, the pig is just the joke. There is no pig, but there is the one patron has a fish and a duck puppet. He walks in with the puppet, and then has the fish in his pocket. It's all a play on all your stereotypical guy walks into a bar jokes. So the guy, that one's sort of based on the fish walks into a bar and the bartender says we don't serve fish here, and then the fish says then I'll have fish. So it's just one of those silly. Then there's the priest, the monk, and the rabbi walk into the bar, that sort of thing. She just plays on all the different stereotypical jokes, but then just sort of takes them to a different level of physical comedy, which is very funny. So there are 7 people in the play, and some of them don't even have a line; they just walk in. So I pulled from all the different plays that are from the 10 different plays to get the actors to go into this one, since their parts are so small.
Hysterical. And that's one of the reasons I like having the Bar Hoppers crowd come in here, because it's a lighthearted show, but full of talented people. It always gives me a beautiful Sunday morning to start with. I hope it does as well to our listeners who are listening to WNRN Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, interviewing the Bar Hoppers 2013 crowd. Now, a director with us and a writer.
Yes.
So explain to me the roles of each. I mean, writer sounds easy. You're just sitting there and making up some jokes and writing along.
Yeah, it's easy. Just sit down and write it. Yeah, well, they Live Arts and Offstage asked for submissions, so they got a lot of submissions of short plays of all different kinds.
24, yeah.
Yeah, 24 altogether. And out of those, 10 were chosen, which run the gamut from the kind of absurdity you just heard to, you know, intimate two-character plays to monologues, mm-hmm. but all, again, to be performed at bars, in bars, and for bar patrons.
And, Marty, you talk about gathering actors from other roles in other plays. Do you find that difficult to have these folks who are somewhat focused on another play and bring them in, or is this just, you know, oh, it's simple because it's a nice break?
It was a little complicated because the commitment time to be in this play, I tried to minimize it for people, so it almost made it more difficult for people to want to be part of it because there wasn't a lot of commitment. And like I said, they only have one line or two lines or no lines. So, but it came together beautifully. It's a great cast and it's very, very, very funny. I mean, the script itself, somebody could just stand there and read it all by themselves and everybody would laugh. So.
As was just done.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of how many people were?
Seven people are in it.
Seven people, and we had two people make me laugh. I never know whether or not to leave my microphone on so that I can giggle on air and give some sort of feedback to the crowd, to the actors. I'm sure that that's what you hear when you're in the bar, hopefully, mm-hmm. starting tonight. By the way, Keisha, let me turn your microphone back on. You're the dates and times and locations again. We'll do this throughout the hour.
Sure. So, let's see. For Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night, which is August 4th, 5th, and 6th, we're going to be at the Local in Belmont. And then on August 11th, 12th, and 13th, we're going to be at Millie Joe on Preston Avenue. And then on the 18th, 19th, and 20th, we're going to be at Rapture right on the downtown mall.
7:30, right, is the time.
Yes, 7:30. Feel free to get in there earlier. Get yourself a seat, grab a drink, get some food. Food will be served for the entire night. Drinks will be served for the entire night. So, I mean, it should be, it's a really good time. It's also a good time to sort of, if you are only stuck in one particular area of Charlottesville, it's a good way to kind of see some other venues.
We also have a longtime friend of our show, Wake Up Call. Sean McCord has joined us.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
A playwright for one of the plays performed tonight, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Lulu?
That's right.
With you and Chris, as we talk about playwriting, the muse comes from where?
Wow. Well, with me, what really works is deadlines.
Deadlines?
So, when we got word that, that Live Arts was going to, be involved with Bar Hoppers this year, Julie Hamburg, the creative director of Live Arts, came to the Live Arts Playwrights Lab, which is a group that meets, twice a month, throughout the academic year anyway. Local playwrights who discuss their work, bring their work in, bring it in at various stages, but all works in progress. And the Playwrights Lab has had the opportunity with Live Arts in the past to sponsor shows. This year, for complicated reasons, we weren't going to have that opportunity. But when Offstage came to Live Arts, Julie told me that she saw this as an opportunity for the Playwrights Lab to get involved in something. Writing a short is a very you have to take a different approach than you do with a long form play. You don't have time to develop your characters, to, you know, put them through a series of actions. You kind of got to jump right into the middle of it. You have to have characters that are fully formed in your mind and put them in a scenario and have them behave in a way that would make sense in that scenario. So in my case, I had an idea that I've been sort of tossing around in my head for a while, but as with many of us, I got it, you know, I finished writing it I think I submitted it like 8 o'clock in the evening on the day it was due by midnight. So yes, to get back to answering your question, there are different motives for different people, but for me, it's having a deadline saying this has to be done by this time, and of course, it has to be, you know, perfect and artistic and change the world.
Chris,
my process is simpler. I just hung out in bars to get an idea to write a play about. And actually, the inspiration for the play I wrote came from being in the local and listening to two young employees there, who are wonderful, wonderful people who are both getting married or may already be married this summer, and listening to them talk about their wedding plans. And so that became the inspiration for the play I wrote.
All right, lovely. I always love hearing about how people create quality entertainment. Thanks so much. All right, thanks for listening to Wake Up Call. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to move some new people in. Chris and Marty and Sean, please hang out in the lobby because I know that I'll have questions for you a little later in the hour. Be right back.
And support for WNRN today coming from TN Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
Support today for WNRN comes from the Jefferson Theater, presenting an acoustic and electric evening with New Potato Caboose Saturday, August 10th. Tickets for the August 10th show are at jeffersontheater.com. An acoustic and electric evening with New Potato Caboose Saturday at the Jefferson Theater.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks so much for stay tuned. We are talking with the folks from Bar Hoppers and the 2013 crowd. We also have with us Keisha Jarrett. She's with Live Arts, one of the co-production folks with the Offstage Theater, Keisha. And so you run this whole thing, right? This massive amount of actors and playwrights and directors, and you make sure everybody shows up when they're supposed to be there, on the spot they're supposed to be there. You're sort of like the woman in control with the whip, correct?
I would love it if people thought of me in that way, but that is not the case. Tracy Skipper, who is who's Live Arts Director of Volunteers, is the producer of Bar Hoppers. And so she is the one in command. She is the one with the whip, to kind of amalgamate and combine all of these, actors. With Bar Hoppers this year, we have 10 plays that are written by 10 playwrights with 9 directors, 24 actors, I believe, and a giant list of props. So that is a large list and track for her to keep track of.
And as far as a large list of props, and you have to take these to 3 locations.
That's right.
So does everybody just bring their pickup truck and load it up?
That again is Tracy. She's a wonderful lady. She will have all of the props and not only, 3 locations, but each play will be performed 3 times at each location. So if you can't make it, tonight or Monday night, at the local, then you can certainly come on Tuesday and see all 10 plays. It's about 90 minutes.
Are any of these places non-smoking for those of us who don't smoke and who prefer to not have secondhand smoke anymore from spending too much time in bars in earlier decades?
I believe that all of the places smoking is only allowed outside.
All right. I guess the Virginia laws have changed since the first time I visited a Bar Hoppers. All right. So who do we have with us at the time? I know I'm going to mispronounce. Ooh, Abigail Wiebe. Abigail, have you been here before?
No, I haven't.
Hmm. I've been to other radio stations, but not other radio, here.
But not here. Well, best for last. Who's up? We have Crystal Whitaker and Sarah Elise Jacobson. Ooh, bonus points for me and getting all that right. So all actors in... No, Sarah is the director of one and the playwright of another. Crystal, an actor, and Abigail, an actor as well. So... let's talk to the actresses first. What prompted you to decide to participate?
Well, I was a theater minor at UVA, and I don't get to do theater so much anymore. I really like Bar Hoppers because the schedule works well with my work schedule, and I really like the concept written and performed by locals. So it's definitely something that I'm glad that Live Arts brought back. It's really great for the community.
And I love doing shows like this, this kind of short one-off plays. They're really fun. It's a bunch of people. We all get together and have a good time. It's a little bit like 24/7, not quite as intense, but I also did the summer shorts a couple years ago, and it's just a lot of fun, especially doing plays that are written locally, directed locally. You get a really fun community going between the playwrights, directors, actors, people who wear multiple hats. It's a really good time, and it's in bars. Yeah. So, I mean, why not, really?
As the director, Sarah, do you have to keep your staff, your characters, and make sure that they only visit the bar once the night is over? Do you allow them to sort of get in the flow before their role actually comes up?
Yeah, we can preview a little bit at the bar, have a little bit of excitement before we get going.
You know, sit in amongst the crowd and kind of get the vibe for the night.
Yeah, my character actually is maybe supposed to be a little tipsy, so I was thinking of kind of getting into character ahead of time.
Definitely takes the edge off.
Yeah? Sorry I brought that up. Now you're going to have to watch out. You're going to have to watch out for that later. Sarah. All right, so what piece are we going to do next?
This is an excerpt from the play written by Chris Baumer, who you heard earlier. It's called The Runaway Bride.
Can the playwright not be the director too involved in the production?
In Bar Hoppers, it was decided by the powers that be that a playwright who has a play in Bar Hoppers should not also direct his or her own play. So for that reason, the play that I have written is being directed by another director, and I am directing Chris's play.
So you can have multiple roles.
That's
You're
true.
A playwright and a director.
Yes.
But you can't work with your own material.
Correct.
Can you... Does that apply to actors in terms of acting in their play, or?
I don't know if that was specified, but I believe that the actors in the plays are do not have a dual role as playwright.
Crystal, Abigail, have either of you performed outside of Charlottesville?
I have to think. I don't think so.
Actually, no.
Unless you count, like, high school theater. No.
Not in a long time, anyway.
Yeah. Keisha, have any of these plays been published?
No, they are all unpublished plays. And kind of skipping back to that question that you had with Sarah before, the idea about playwrights not then directing their own plays is so that the playwrights themselves get the opportunity to sort of see... how their work can be enveloped by another person. So I think once you are immersed in a play with writing, you can kind of get consumed by it and don't really give the actors the opportunity to express themselves within characters or give another director that opportunity to see a play in a different way. So that, again, is something as far as pulling in with the community with other directors and giving people the chance to work on and see their work through somebody else's eyes.
Also, as a playwright, it's been very interesting to take on the role of director and interact with another playwright and see the play from that perspective and maintain a working relationship with the playwright, but taking on that role of the director as opposed to
the author of the play.
What explain the differences to me. You know, what you are, what vision you have as the playwright versus the vision that you get as the director.
Well, one really exciting thing about Bar Hoppers is that the playwright has the opportunity to collaborate with the director. Oftentimes the director will not have access to the playwright. So it's neat as for me in a director role to be able to come to the playwright with questions and clarification and to have that opportunity for the director to even be in the room during the rehearsal process and so that we can discuss what my vision or idea of the play is and see how it meshes with Chris's vision and sort of discuss what some of the options are. So it's been really nice to be able to have that collaborative opportunity, which you don't always get.
This is WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm Rick Moore. We're talking with a variety of folks from the Bar Hoppers 2013 theater group. They're getting ready to start. Tonight is the first show. Keisha, again, where, when, how much?
So the first performances will be done August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the local in Belmont. August 11th, 12th, and 13th will be at Millie Joe on Preston. And August 18th, 19th, and 20th will be at Rapture on the downtown mall. The performances start at 7:30, and tickets are $10 at the door.
All right. Becca, a question popped in my head for you, Sarah. Now, I'm sure that you and Chris, who was the writer of this piece that we're going to do in a moment, Runaway Bride, you have a wonderful working relationship. But as someone who sees both roles as writer and director, are there other plays, whether it's here with the Bar Hoppers group or in other other performances, other productions that you have participated in, where the writing and the directing don't always mesh quite as well as your relationship with Chris?
Yes. My experience with Bar Hoppers has been extremely positive, both as a playwright and as a director. I've had experiences in the past where a director, of one of my plays has not had the greatest communication or has perhaps overstepped bounds and tried to make changes to a script or suggest a complete overhaul of an ending of a play, for example, without consulting the playwright. So it can get a little messy, but this experience has been extremely positive in that we've communicated really well, and we're also, I think, on the same page in terms of idea of how the performance should look and how it should feel.
All right, questions for our actresses. Do you prefer to be called actors or actresses?
I like actors, but it doesn't matter.
I don't have
it's
a preference.
Not a big deal.
All right, so when it comes to becoming selected for the role, when you go to participate at Bar Hoppers, did you walk in hoping to be selected for any role? Here, let me perform for you, and hopefully you determine which role you think I would fit best into by casting. Or did you walk in with any sort of knowledge about what, you know, I would like to be in this role or in this play?
Well, Crystal and I had slightly different experiences. She auditioned the first night, and I auditioned the second night. They changed the format a little bit. And I had also gotten to read all of the scripts beforehand, which I don't think she did.
No, I did not. I went into it pretty blind, actually. So.
Yeah, so I came in with an idea of which plays I kind of liked, which ones I wasn't so excited about. But for the most part, I just kind of wanted to go in and have a good time and see what actually doing the play with the director felt like, or with the other actors who were there.
And I just went into it excited to get any role. I was like, I just want to be cast in a part. So, yeah.
All right. So, Sarah, again, give us some background, some context for the piece that we're going to hear from the play Runaway Bride.
So the Runaway Bride, of course, takes place in a bar. You will be hearing from, well, you'll be hearing.
I'm just trying to picture the Runaway Bride in her, bridal gown. And maybe she's not, but that's just.
Right. So Abigail plays the role of
Melissa, who, as the play opens, is seated alone at the bar having a drink. And Crystal is the bride. Her role is the character of Stephanie. We're going to hear an excerpt where Crystal has entered the bar and has entered into a conversation with Melissa, a lone woman nursing her drink.
I remember this toast my father gave at my wedding. One of those cringe-inducing, I'm giving my little girl away to another man and he better take good care of her speeches.
You're married.
Was.
Sorry.
Don't be. It was a mistake. I made it. I'll live with it.
Kids?
Two. A boy and a girl. They're with their father while I'm on this business trip.
Oh, that must be difficult for the kids. Well, for all of you. I mean, you work.
I didn't. While we were having kids. Mistake number two. But yeah, now I'm back doing mergers and acquisitions, just 2 years behind the career curve.
We talked about me not working.
You and...
Mark. Sorry, my fiancé. I work at a gallery. I'm the curator for modern American art, actually, but it's not like there aren't a million art history majors out there to take my place.
And Mark, what's he do?
Lawyer. He's clerking for a judge now, but plans to go into some sort of corporate practice after, so I won't need to work for the money anyway.
Well, that'll be nice. For a while.
What happened with you and...
Todd.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to pry, it's just...
No, it's okay, I know, it's your big day tomorrow and you're nervous.
Right, my big day.
But you get there, and it's not your big day at all anymore. It's your parents, and his parents, and the photographer, and the caterer, and the dress, and who gets to be the flower girl. And however much you know, it's all just a show for the audience. Somewhere inside of you is a little girl who dreamed of getting married, of giving yourself for real and for always to a man, however liberated you are. And then you get there, and it's just one man giving you to another man. Sorry, I'm too cynical.
No... Disillusioned, maybe. So, what happened? Did he change? Was he not who you thought he was?
No. If anything, I changed. I wasn't who he thought I was. We had kids. I became someone different. And he didn't know what hit him. He couldn't deal. And I couldn't deal with his not dealing. We think they'll change, but they don't. They want us to stay the same. And we can't.
Thanks for the pep talk. So, what do I do?
You could just walk away. Unless you're sure. If you're sure, go for it. The minister asked me right before my wedding, "Are you sure?" And I kind of laughed and said, "Well, I'd better be." But I wasn't. So, are you sure?
I'd better be.
I had my microphone turned down, but at one point I sort of snorted because I laughed at that one line about sorry about being cynical. Which, again, that was an excerpt from the role, from the play Runaway Bride. Our guest today, that's Abigail Wiebe, performing the role of the cynical Melissa, Crystal Whitaker, the actual runaway bride, Stephanie, and Sarah Elise Jacobson, who is the director of this play. Abigail, quickly, how do you, again, I go back to the muse that I asked the playwrights about, is it difficult to become so cynical before you sit down and do that?
Actually, this character is very different from me. She's pretty nasty and manipulative in some ways, which I, of course, am not. But no, it's not hard. Everybody's had bad relationships in the past. Everybody's got something they can tap into to feel a little fed up with something, or just a little, you know, cranky, or want to dig the knife in on something, somebody.
Crystal, have you ever been married? Do you have a fiancé?
No, I am not married, but I actually am an event planner in my everyday life. So 90% of my business is working with brides, so it was pretty easy to tap into the nervousness that a lot of my clients have. I'm normally the
calming role in their lives, so it's interesting to have someone not so calming in this play. But, yeah, that's how that goes. So.
That was wonderfully done. Thanks so much. Again, Bar Hoppers 2013 here in the studio with us today.
And support for WNRN today comes from the Markets of Tiger Fuel Company, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street.
Support for WNRN today comes from the Modlin Center for the Arts at the University of Richmond, presenting music, dance, and visual arts. The 2013-14 season features the Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Joy Kilsorrow, Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn, Sam Bush and Jerry Douglas, Roseanne Cash, Branford Marsalis, and many more. Details at modlin.richmond.edu.
WNRN is supported by Ragged Mountain Running Shop, number 3 Elliewood Avenue on the UVA corner. Ragged Mountain specializes in hard-to-fit feet, injury resolution, and training advice, and features nearly a dozen brands of running shoes. Charlottesville's community running headquarters since 1982, the Ragged Mountain Running Shop.
Hi, I'm Pat Owen from Shannon Arts, and we are proud to present the Virginia State non-equity premiere of Les Miserables. Les Miserables, the award-winning international hit musical, opens at Shannon Arts and Telos Theater this August. Les Miserables runs August 1st through August 4th and August 8th through the 11th. All shows are at 7 p.m. and Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. The shows will be performed at Shannon Arts and Telos Theater at Gypsy Hill Place on Churchville Avenue in Stanton. For more information and to reserve your tickets online, visit shannonarts.org. I'm Pat Owen, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. This is WNRN Community Independent Radio. I'm Rick Moore. Our guest today, folks from the Bar Hoppers 2013 troupe. Is that still the way? Is that still an appropriate phrase?
Yeah.
Or am I dating myself in some sort of way? So the Bar Hoppers 2013, some questions for the group. By the way, I don't know everyone in here. We have a new participant, Elizabeth Derby. Thanks so much for joining the crowd.
My pleasure.
We still have Sean McCord hanging out. We have Marty Moore.
Hi.
And we have Chris Palmer.
Right.
So
that's me.
Questions. Who's participated, and I've probably asked this before, but I don't remember. Who's participated in Bar Hoppers before? Anyone?
None of us.
Nope.
All right.
I've
and so
them.
We're all too young.
Thank you, Sean McCord. As someone who's seen several Bar Hoppers play in the past, do you have any concern about doing theater in sort of a live open space where the general public can come and go?
I think that's one of the challenges, but it's also one of the joys of Bar Hoppers. Not only is it noisy and the actors have to be louder and a little bigger, but it's also the audience is much more forgiving. You know, they might be a little tipsy, which is always helpful, but they also understand that you're in an environment that is not typical, and they are very, very, very supportive of the actors and how challenging this is for them to be up there.
One of the reasons I like live theater, Rick, is because it is so interactive, because the audience is right there. So even when you're doing, you know, a traditional show on a stage, especially in a place like Live Arts, where it's very intimate, you're aware of the audience and they're aware of you, and you actually are building a relationship with them. So this is just another way of doing that. Mm-hmm. And as Marty says, they are there to have a good time, and they're there to be entertained, and they are there, the audience, to be supportive.
Now, Keisha, again, Sean McCord, writer and director, Chris Bauer, Bomber, writer and director, Marty director. Mm-hmm. Have you, did you write any of the today's?
I did not. No, or I did, but it didn't get selected. No.
And Elizabeth Derby, actress, any other roles here with the group at Bar Hoppers 2013?
Two others in this year's incarnation, but they're these sort of small roles, the one lines or the walk in and walk out, which is
are you
really
in the walk into a bar role? Where you
I am. I am. I have a I
called
have
in
a,
to put a duck on your hand.
It's not a duck, but there's something, and everyone should come and find out what because it's hilarious.
It's really funny.
Yeah, it's really great actually.
Again, I believe that play written by Miller Murray Susan, mm-hmm. who an excellent storyteller verbally. So I would hope that that translates to. Written play as
oh,
well.
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly
yes.
Very talented, very talented woman. So Keisha Jarrett was talking earlier about a large number of props that are needed to make this happen. Are there any props at the any props needed at the or that a participant comes from the actual location itself?
Oh yeah,
sure.
There's a lot of drinking going on in all the plays. So glasses, liquor, and we'll liquor up our actors. No, I'm just kidding. But,
yeah, I think Abigail was talking about maybe needing to get a little tipsy before her play came on.
Yeah, but we'll need glasses from them, you know, towels and whatnot. But of course, walks into a bar. We have a duck, a lizard, a skunk. A fish.
Usual bar thing.
Don't
give it
all away. I asked that question because several years passed in one of the years of Bar Hoppers. I went to see them at Rapture. And mm-hmm. there's a pool table at Rapture. And my friend and I who went, we happened to be sitting next to the pool table. We put our jackets down along with several other people who sort of laid their coats on the pool table. And at some point during the night, someone walked over to us and said, just a heads up, you might want to move your jacket because the next play involves the pool table. And it was, I don't remember the title of the play. I believe Joel Jones, prominent, and Chris, what was the word you had written earlier? Prolific. Playwright. Had written this piece, and it had something to do with the sort of like the speed of which a relationship can take place. And so during the play, the couple comes over and actually gets quite romantic on top of the pool table. And we were like, holy cow, because we were forewarned, but not quite that much to be sitting about 5 feet away from the action.
Mm-hmm. I bet you glad you moved your jacket.
Yeah. Yes, I'm very happy that we moved our jacket. But sort of that involvement with the environment of the play, of the play location, I thought was, you know, it's, are any, and Sean and Chris, both playwrights, how involved are you, or are you involved at all, and once your play is selected and going to the locations, to see if the play can use any of that specific area to work with?
When I wrote the play, I mean, I didn't know the specific venues, but having a general idea that, you know, they take place in bars, at bars, with a lot of people milling around and sitting around, I just worked with that from the beginning. The challenge about Bar Hoppers is, you know, we have to tech in all three locations right before it's done. So there's always that element of things are going to change. You're going to have to improvise. You're going to have to sort of work with the different spaces as they become available. So my intention from the beginning was to write something that could be performed in any bar, knowing that it was going to have to switch locations, as opposed to saying, oh, I know Rapture's set up this way, mm-hmm. so I'll have people do it on the pool table, which is very clever, but I'm not that clever.
Unless you're sitting really close.
Unless you're sitting really close.
It loses yeah. its cleverness and yeah. a little more awkwardness involved. So the next play that we're going to be doing is...
Words with Friends.
Words with Friends, okay. Before we, you know, again, written by Jenny Mead, mm-hmm. is that correct?
Yes.
And Marty, you're directing this one
yes,
as
I
well?
Yes, I direct this one too. Mm-hmm.
So I want to know a little bit more about when you go to work on this. Bar Hoppers is all about, all the plays are comedy, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any dramas involved in this? I'm not aware of any in the past years that I've actually gone to sit and watch.
I think one of the monologues is a little more on the serious side, right? I mean, I think they're all engaging. I don't know if they're all necessarily comedy.
Yeah, and there were 24 pieces submitted, and 10 selected, and there was a selection process, a board of people, and when the scripts were submitted, they were submitted anonymously. It's because theater. We're a small town. We all know each other.
Right. You put your name on the front page, which can then be hidden or torn off.
Essentially, yes. There was one person, the producer, Tracy, knew who wrote the scripts, but the people who were reading the scripts weren't. So, we don't know what their criteria was and why they selected certain scripts, but there does seem to be a wealth of Not, they're not pure comedy. There are at least comic elements in all of them, but they take place in bars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depends what you find funny. Also,
but that's a wonderful place for drama as well. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, tell me a little bit about your background and interest in participating. Have you been on stage outside of the city of Charlottesville?
Not since high school. Dumb. I'm a writer in town, and so I've participated with. I've walked in the same circles as a lot of these talented folks, and I auditioned because this is a month of challenges for me. I'm challenging myself to do things that aren't comfortable, and I guess July was too. And this has been a total pleasure. It's been really fun working with Marty, and it's just nice. It's nice to step outside your own head for a while, and I think this definitely allows you to do that.
Elizabeth is also a wonderful Big Blue Door storyteller.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'll have to go down to, what's the proper name, Black Moto?
Yeah, the Black Moto Saloon.
Black Moto Saloon, which is where Big Blue Door often, or regularly, recently has had their storytelling performances. So I'm sure that the relationship between the actors and the directors, especially in this particular play, are wondrous and wonderful.
Indeed.
But the challenges of working with different directors?
Well, I will say the direction I've had to take from the other plays has been minimal, simply because my parts have been minimal, but it has been really interesting to see how the different directors work, sort of how their minds work, and, you know, there's a little bit less play involved in a show where I walk in, tap someone on the shoulder, and walk out, then there isn't a play where I'm actually having a conversation with someone that has emotional ties and things like that. So it's been really neat to see, yeah.
But you get to, I'm sure you've become, if you weren't already, you've become friends with a variety of the people, especially other actors involved in Bar Hoppers 2013. So you, when you have rehearsal, are you rehearsing your play, or are you rehearsing the entire production for the evening?
Just the individual plays.
Play by play.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you don't necessarily get to see the interaction between other actors and other directors?
No, so I've seen bits and pieces here and there, simply walking around. We've been sort of crossing paths as we've come to rehearsals, but this will be a big surprise for me tonight because in auditions we read pieces of all the plays, but I haven't seen really any of the others in their entirety except the ones I'm in.
That must be funny when you're sitting there watching, or will you get the opportunity to watch the other plays, or do you need to step away and sort of gather yourself so that you can be in the proper mental state for your own role?
Maybe if my character was a little more serious, I'd need some very firm focus time. I think as it is, it's just going to be fun for me to watch, unless the logistics are such that I need to be out of the room. I haven't quite gathered that yet, but we'll have our tech today and find out.
We have three directors in the room, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a director, but I'm actually not directing a piece in this, in Bar Hoppers.
Okay. So how does the group, if you haven't rehearse together, how do you put the entire event together if you haven't done that?
We'll find out later today.
We'll let you know at 5:30.
Right. That's why we have a producer, and we also had a consulting director. I don't know what Betsy's official title was in this.
There are, like, artistic director.
Artistic director. Mm-hmm. Betsy Tucker, who was a well-respected director in town, came to rehearsals for each play. So she's had the opportunity to see each play and kind of get a sense of how they work. You know, is it a comedy? Is it a drama? How well it will dovetail with other plays? And are there also, are there cross actors? You know, like I've got the play that I'm directing called Last Call. I've got a walk-on at the end, so I had to select an actor from another play. So Betsy has attended rehearsals for each of the plays, and then she sat down with Tracy, with the producer, and they worked out the best order of plays. You know, mix a light comedy with something, perhaps followed by something that would fit with that, and make sure that you don't have an actor who's literally walking off stage and turning around and walking right back on again. So they've been doing that process on their own, but as Elizabeth said, we're all looking forward to seeing how it all comes together.
Well, and unlike working in one space in a theater where you might have a dress rehearsal where all the pieces are performed because you work out all the technical elements in one space to be done for the entire run of the show, by definition, this is being done in three different locations, so that you really have to go through that process three times because you don't know what it looks like in that space until you put it all together in that space.
Right.
Does a last question for this, and then we'll put this excerpt on. Is Last Call the last performance?
Actually, no. It's the second on the list.
I hope people don't get confused. No. All right, so what are we going to do now?
We're doing an excerpt of Words with Friends, written by Jenny Mead. It is we're on a date with a couple who have been together 5 years, and we'll learn a little bit about them through the excerpt. It's very funny. It's very modern, what we're all going through these days with dealing with technology and the interruptions that technology has for us.
So, Marty, are you actually participating? Do you have a piece in this?
I will be the cell phone chime.
All right,
sound effects.
Elizabeth Derby and Chris Balmer, reading, performing excerpt from Words with Friends.
Salud.
Cheers.
Here's to a night when it's just the two of us. Along with several dozen strangers, of course.
Happy birthday, honey.
Okay, so where is it?
What?
You know.
In my purse. Where else? Yours?
I didn't bring it. Remember? No calls, no texts, no emails, no words with friends. Your birthday present to me. A night when nothing digital comes between us.
I know.
Just the two of us, whispering sweet nothings into each other's ear.
What exactly is a sweet nothing?
It's metaphorical. Or rhetorical. I can never remember the difference between the two.
But what would a sweet nothing mean to you? I mean, nothing is a negative, no matter how sweet it is. Not there. So if you were whispering negatives into my ear, why should I care?
You always overanalyze. It's a figure of speech. Sexy gobbledygook. Ignore it.
I don't know if I...
Pretend you didn't hear it.
Okay. So, I don't know if...
Turn it off, then.
I don't know if I can do that. I feel so disconnected if it's not on.
Pavlov's dog. You hear that little chime or beep, and you automatically want your little nugget of communication.
Are you comparing me to a dog?
Metaphorically. Or maybe rhetorically.
Neither. Pavlov's dog really existed. Dogs, rather. They were named after fruit flies. Or maybe it was the other way around.
Seriously. They've done studies about the iPhones and Blackberries and other stuff. People get sweaty hands, even have panic attacks, when they're not allowed to check their phones. Pulse racing, heart beating faster. You can do it, honey. We have lots to talk about.
Yes, we do. Like what?
Well, it's been 5 years since we first met. I think there's plenty to discuss.
Go into couples therapy?
Think we should? Would you please just turn the damn thing off?
Oh, my. The couples therapy thing. Fortunately, I don't think my dog Lazarus was listening to that, so oh, no. He's probably not going to be offended that I'm laughing at couples therapy. All right, another excerpt from the Bar Hoppers 2013 performances. That was Walks Into a Bar.
No,
that was Words with Friends, performed by Elizabeth Derby and Chris Baumer, and technological assistance by Marty Moore. Be right
with
back.
Yes, her cell phone.
Support for WNRN today comes from the Rockingham County Fair, presenting Old Crow Medicine Show on Thursday, August 15th. You can find Rockingham County Fair on your GPS, Route 11 Harrisonburg. Tickets for Old Crow Medicine Show and Chuck Mead and his Grassy Knoll Boys on Thursday, August 15th are at rockinghamcountyfair.com.
Support for WNRN is brought to you by Atlantic Organic Natural Sleep Shop, featuring their natural and chemical-free organic sleep studio with environmentally conscious mattresses and bedding, including eco-friendly hardwood platform beds. That's Atlantic Organic, 421 West Main Street, Charlottesville. Website AtlanticOrganicSleepShop.com. It's bedtime naturally.
This is WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, talking with the theater troupe from the Bar Hoppers 2013 crowd. Can also, we want to keep you informed on the concerts around our area. Head to WNRN.org under the Features tab for WNRN's Concert Connection. You'll find shows from Richmond to Harrisonburg and Lynchburg to Charlottesville, all of the concerts in one place. Comprehensive schedule of live music for you at WNRN.org. All right, a few minutes left with our group. We still have Keisha Garrett here. We have Sean McCord, Marty Moore, and Chris Baumer. Chris, every time it changes in my head. Bow or Baum?
Baumer.
Baumer. Well, after mispronouncing it probably every other time.
I never correct people because Yeah.
My apologies. Keisha, or a quick question for everybody here, and then we're going to get into the live arts business for just a moment. You want everyone to come visit and see and participate in what you are doing. How do you battle that with the competition of other groups in the area, whether that's Heritage or Four County Players or whatever, who you also want to support because they're doing the work that you find exciting and in need of support by as many people who can follow along with that?
Well, there's a lot of room for theater in this town, Rick. And, you know, we're really not in competition with each other. I mean, sure, audiences might have to choose on a particular night, you know, where they want to go to see live theater. But that's a good thing that Charlottesville has those kind of choices. And speaking for myself, but I imagine other people here, we're just happy to be involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are people involved in Bar Hoppers involved with all those organizations. Mm-hmm. I mean, Betsy, who's acting as the artistic director, just directed Red at Heritage, and you've got people that work at Live Arts and people mm-hmm. that work at Play On and people that work up at Barbersville, mm-hmm. you know.
I've directed at Four County Players and at Play On and other theaters as well, so we all work together. There's a lot of community support for everybody, so we just sort of work it out. And but then we always tell people, come to our shows because they're the best. No, I'm just kidding.
There's a lot of metaphorical incest going on in theater in Charlottesville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or is it rhetorical?
I forgot.
Incest.
But,
yeah. Keisha, we've talked several times now about how offstage theater, getting the support from the co-production with Live Arts mm-hmm. for Bar Hoppers. So let's give Live Arts a chance to chat up about what's going on there. And I see that we need to watch your language.
I do.
As you read these. So what's going on at Live Arts for the 2013-14 season?
Before we get into that, we have our we're wrapping up our summer musical, which is Legally Blonde. The closing day on that is this Saturday, August 10th. And that is in our Gibson Theater. We still have Pay What You Can Wednesdays. Tickets are available for that at 10 a.m. at the box office. Then After that is, of course, Bar Hoppers, which we've discussed those dates for that. We have our late night, which is September 28th, which is kind of like a vaudevillian variety show. We then have the Mother Bleeper with the Hat, which performs August 12th through November 9th. And then our last event that's coming up quickly is the Live Arts Gala, which is October 26th.
All right. And one last time, you were hearing an excerpt from the Bar Hoppers 2013 series. They're performed on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights. So they start tonight. The first Sunday is tonight, August 4th.
Correct.
At which location?
They will be at the Local in Belmont. And then next Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, from the 11th through the 13th at Millie Joe on Preston. And then from the 18th through the 20th at Rapture on the Downtown Mall.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I always
Thank
find
you.
This to be one of my favorite programs. The variety of people, the entertainment, cracking up and snorting into my microphone. I might want to clean that off. Drew Thompson, Les Dennis Perdue up next. Thanks to everybody for being here. Next Sunday, we'll have two local superintendents, Dr. Pam Moran from Albemarle County and Gina Keller of Fluvanna County, talking about the school systems. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Angie Cruz. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.